It'll just stay in there. There's more than one way to skin a cat, right? How many of you are 43 years or younger? Oh, admit it, keep your hand up. Okay, the reason I'm asking, I'll tell you why I'm asking. 44 years ago tonight, Easter Sunday night, I preached my first message. So for those of you who are 43 and younger, you weren't even born. You know, people go, I have people come to me, man, they tell me I'm a scholar, and I'm like, I'm not a scholar, I've just been around a long time. I've got to read the Bible a whole lot longer than most of y'all, you know what I'm saying? Anyway, yeah, 44 years ago, it was really bizarre too. I'll tell you a story real quick. Actually was going to La Force, anybody familiar with La Force? L-E-F-O-R-S, La Force, Texas, a little bitty town by Pampa, Texas. And my cousin and I went there, and they asked us to come do a youth revival. The reason I laugh is because the youngest person in that church was probably 60. But anyway, so we were never had spoke publicly like that. Totally freaked out. We get there the Saturday night. My cousin and I, we're just praying like crazy in the sanctuary, not for the message, but for our own selves. Like, what are we going to do? I'm like, you start, and then we'll take turns. And that way I didn't know how to do it. Excellent. Well, a tornado hit, and over 200 homes were leveled. And one child was killed, and it was amazing that that's all it was killed out of it. So what happened was we ended up staying for the week, this week revival, and we just helped clean up and stuff. Towards the end of the week, the pastor from a church in Pampa, Texas, came up to us and said, man, I heard you boys are here to preach a revival. And he said, yes, sir. Well, you want to speak Sunday night? He looked at me for some reason instead of my cousin, and I said, sure. Holy smoke, never should have done that, you know. It just scared. Listen, they sang the song "I'll Fly Away," and I was ready to go before they really did. They sang that. I'm like, God, if you've ever really heard my heart, take me. Anyway, 44 years ago, how cool is that? So obviously today's Easter, and there's so much about Easter, man. I could go on for days. This is absolutely my favorite holiday, simply because this is when He did for me. So over the years, just so you know, I've tried salvation in many ways, many different ways. I'm sure that everyone in here has done at least one of these. Just so you know, I'm fixing to share. I've done all of them because I'm old. Remember, I'm older than you. So the first one that came to my mind was salvation by sincerity. And that is, it doesn't matter what I believe as long as I'm sincere, you know, and that's kind of dead. And then there's salvation by good works, which is, if I work hard and do good things, I'll be okay. And that's kind of dead too. And then there's salvation by ritual. This one I really got into a little bit. I'll join the church and do church stuff, and then I'll be good to go. And that's kind of dead too. And then I did, this one's another favorite one. This is probably my best one I did. Salvation by heritage. My mama's a good Christian. And she prays for me. Oh, I can't tell you the times I would come home from a blithering mess, and I would hear faintly in her room. And I'd open the door, and she's in there with my picture walking, and I would get angry, you know. But somehow I felt like that made me good, you know. So my mama's a good Christian. She prays for me, and she taught me right. So I'm gonna make it, you know. Then there's salvation by comparison. Well, at least I'm not like John. Or Lindy, you know, I ain't killed nobody, so I'm good to go. That's it. And then I think the worst one that we do is this last one I want to say, and that is salvation by subtraction. And that is, I'll give up smoking, drinking, carousing, and cussing, and I'll get my ticket to heaven. And that's kind of dead too. Let me show you the scripture that came to my mind. The reason I'm saying is they're all dead. In Proverbs it says, there's a way which seems right to men, and it appears straight before him, but in the end, it's death. So here we are on Resurrection Sunday. This is Resurrection Sunday. We had Good Friday, and that was when Jesus took care of it all. Had he not resurrected, there would be no power. But he did resurrect. But here's what I want you to understand. Jesus did not die and resurrect to make bad people good. He died and rose again to make dead people live. And that's the truth. Oh, that sounded like, what's her name? Lily Tomlin, remember her? And that sort of, I've told you how I'm old. Look at this scripture right here. Colossians 2. When you were dead, nekros, in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions, having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. So I've vetted it out with the original language. That's why I put the original language in there. And here's the what I call the SVV version, Steve Van Zandt vetted. And here it is. When you were utterly lifeless, deader than dead in your choices of wrongdoing and shortage of truth, he made you distinctly alive with Jesus. He did this by proclaiming not guilty for each and every individual charge against you. God completely and thoroughly eliminated the evidence, documented and written with his own hand, of the accusations of the law that were fully opposed to you, having become your enemy. He did this in the midst of everyone by raising the law up from the ground, and he forever nailed it to the cross of Jesus. For this to occur, something spectacular had to happen. Because mankind had not done very well for very long at all, ever. All the way back to when Adam and Eve did their thing and messed up, all the way through, something spectacular had to happen. And it did, and this is the day we celebrate today, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So here's what I want you to see. God resurrected Jesus so that your sins are forever forgiven. Watch. Under the old covenant, the priest stands and ministers before the altar day after day, offering the same sacrifices again and again, which can never take away sin. But our high priest offered himself to God as a single sacrifice for sins, good for all time forever. Then he sat down in the place of honor at God's right hand. Okay, see this. Once, not day after, forever, not again and again. Here's what I want you to understand. When you go into the Old Testament and you study out the Old Testament, and the Old Testament is so, you have to have the Old Testament to understand the New Testament, ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you right now. But if you'll study it out and you'll look where the priests and what they did, those priests could never sit down because his work was never done. The priest's work was never done. And the proof of it is, when you go into the sanctuary where everything was happening, inside of the tabernacle, there was the brazen laver, there was the table of showbread, a table that had bread on it, there was the golden candlestick, there was the altar, and there was the Ark of the Covenant, but there was no place to sit down. There was no seat. Do you get what I'm saying? Every time the priest was in there, that priest was constantly having to do. Then you turn around and Christ finished what he did, and then the Bible says he sat down. If you go into Ephesians chapter 1, it talks about he sat down, he sits down at the right hand of God the Father, ever talking about how cool we are to him. That's pretty powerful stuff, man. So God resurrected Jesus for your sins forever. Look at this next scripture. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. You're still in your sins. Why? He took care of the sin on the cross, but he had to be resurrected so that we could have power to overcome sin. Therein lies the rub for most people. He took care of absolutely everything on the cross for you and me. There is nothing left to be accomplished. All you have to do is believe in him. But beyond that, he gave us the power to overcome sin in our lives. But he gave us that power in a very unique way, not by subtraction, but actually, and this is actually my last point, but I'll get there now and go back to it, by multiplication. Jesus, God, doesn't use subtraction to help us become better people. He uses the multiplication. So anyway, I'll get there. I'm so far ahead, and I don't want to end too soon because y'all beat the atheists out to eat. We can't do that. I'm really liking this new thing here, by the way. So, where am I at? Sorry, I have to find my... Here I am. Okay. So, watch this. Jesus was raised from the dead. And his being raised from the dead is our receipt that our sins have been obliterated. It's no different than some of you, if you've been in prison or if you're thinking about going to prison or if you work at a prison. I'm putting on JT over here. Listen to me. JT, telling us the truth. Once a prisoner is released, that means the debt has been paid. Is that correct? Okay, so I want to make sure, because that's really what it is. Just like a prisoner, coming out is proof that the payment has already happened, that it's over. They don't have to look over their shoulder. In fact, I had a friend 3 or 4 years ago came into my office, and he needed to turn himself in because he needed to do 18 months so he'd quit having to look over his shoulder. That's what I told him. I said, man, you can look over your shoulder the rest of your life or go do your 18 and be free. And first time ever that anybody actually listened to me immediately. And he literally, and I'm not playing, he literally got it because I told him to do this and I didn't think he would. I said, you need to get up from here right now, go home and say goodbye to your family and go do your time and then you'll be free. See, we do time. Here Jesus set us free, but we're still doing time on our own. So he really did it. He went, and so I hadn't heard from him in a couple of days. So I'm like, I call the family, like, what's his name? And they're like, well, he did what you said. He came home. He went in at 6:00. But you know what? He actually got out a little bit earlier, got out after about 11 months, but then he got out and he was free. What I mean by free, he didn't have to look over his shoulder. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. When you believe in Jesus and what he did for you, you don't got to look over your shoulder. You hear me? You're set free. And he who the Son has set free,
free indeed.
Free indeed. Thank you very much. So, if we're not forgiven of everything, then we're not forgiven at all. If we're not forgiven of all, we're not forgiven at all. You got that? So God is, I got to press this. God is not soft. God is a holy God. And so because he is so holy and so perfect, he had to do judgment for something for us people. And because we don't do too good with this thing called life, and because we have this sinful nature, that's why for God so loved the world that he sent his Son, that whoever believes in him won't perish but have eternal life. That's why God did, because of the depth of the love that he has for us. That's pretty powerful, but let me tell you something. Every time you start talking about what Jesus did on the cross, people are going to say, oh, you're just saying God. God's not soft, man. God's perfect. He's perfect and he's perfectly holy and you're perfectly not holy, but Jesus is perfectly holy. That's why I've told you a billion times, when God looks at the cross, he sees your ugly self. He sees me on that cross. But when he looks at me, he sees Jesus, because the perfect one went to the cross for the imperfect one so that the imperfect one could be viewed as the perfect one. Amen. Do you get it? Man, once you get that in your heart, you will start becoming sanctified. You know, the big words that we use are justified. What I'm talking about now is the justification that Christ did on the cross for us. That he, everything he did on the cross. But beyond that, there's this thing called sanctification. And we human beings decided to take on sanctification and make it our own. And we started making sanctification by subtraction instead of sanctification by what his purpose is. And that is to love and serve people, period, end of story. Nothing else. I'm sorry, I'm kind of fired up here. I want to stay in this place for 24 hours. Sorry, that's a little funny joke between my wife and I. So I said that. So watch, another reason God resurrected Jesus was to declare you and me righteous. To declare us, you're not righteous. The word's very clear. Our righteousness is as filthy as rags. We are not good. He is good. So he had to do something for us who aren't very good. So that's why he sent Christ to do what he did, and he resurrected him in that power so that God could call us righteous, declare us righteous. You're not, but he calls you righteous. That's what I said a while ago. He views you as righteous. Watch this. Let's use the Bible. This is out of the NLT. He was handed over to die, talking about Jesus, because of our sins, and he was raised to life to make us right with God. Here's the same scripture out of the Amplified Version, so I'll get a little bit louder. So Jesus, who was betrayed and put to death because of our misdeeds, was raised to secure our justification. What is justification? Our acquittal. Making our account balance and absolving us from all guilt before God. That is justification by faith, is the big word. Justification says Jesus took care of everything and paid for everything on the cross. Period. End of story. I've used this illustration. I'll use it again because there's people here I haven't seen in 100 years. Listen, you just pay off your car, John, right? You just paid off your car. You're shouting down, having a birthday cake and everything, right? Then the next month, when the payment was normally due, do you sit down and write them another check out of guilt and say, ugh. No, because why? Because it's paid in full. Tetelestai, Jesus said on the cross. They gave him the sour wine and he said, Tetelestai, which means it is finished. It is paid in full. It's completely and totally done. Do you hear what I'm saying? So whether you want to believe it or not, it's not the point. The point is quit making payment to the debt that's already been paid. You're wasting your life with what God has for you incorporated in being sanctified. Being sanctified and homogenized and pasteurized. Look at this scripture. Out of Titus. But when God our Savior revealed His kindness and love, He saved us. Not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy. He washed away our sins, giving us a new birth and new life through the Holy Spirit. And He generously poured out the Spirit upon us through Christ Jesus our Savior. Because of His grace, He declared us righteous and gave us confidence that we will inherit eternal life. If you wake up every morning and you're walking in one of those 18 different things, not in share 18 of them, different ways that you feel like you're never going to be confident in the fact that Jesus is there. Do you hear me? Yeah. Well, watch this, though. So he died on the cross to declare us righteous. But here's what I want you to understand. I'm going to share the most important one out of all of these I shared, because this one takes care of everything. But the fact that God raised Jesus to give you power over sin deals with right now. Deals with this time on earth that we have remaining, all right? And so therein lies that whole, Jesus didn't die to make a bad man good. He died to make a dead man alive. Yeah. You get it? Yeah. And what's so funny, he makes a dead man alive by being dead in him. So when we die in him, you realize dead people can't sin. When we die in him, it changes the whole outlook of life. And your life will change in dramatic ways. And you won't be the grumpy grump you've been. And you won't be the judgmental one you've been. And you won't be posting that junk on Facebook that you've been. Do you hear what I'm saying? I'm being straight up, man. This is really cool because God is so good and He's so true. God resurrected Jesus to give you power over sin. Here's the scripture. When He died once to break the power of sin. But now that He lives for the glory of God. What does that mean? Though you've been here, you know. The word glory means raising up of a person's reputation of who he is. In other words, any time that we give glory to God, it's because we are raising up who he is and what he does. So anytime we decide to say to other people, oh yeah, man, look what I did. No, you just took the glory from God because the only reason you're breathing is because of him. You get it? So that's what that word means. So he was raised for the glory of God. So you also should consider yourselves. That word consider is more strong than that, by the way. It literally means you should position yourself and totally grasp hold of, right? So you should really totally grasp hold of yourselves that you're dead to the power of sin. You're not dead to sin. You're dead to the power of sin. All of us have inklings and we want to sin, but there is you're dead to the power of it because the power that lives in you is the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, right? So now watch. So verse 12, let me back up. So you also consider yourselves dead to the power of sin and alive to God through Jesus. Don't let sin control the way you live. Don't give in to sinful. How do I do that? How do you do that is by until we firmly believe in the justification in Jesus, we will never firmly walk in the sanctification of Jesus. It won't happen because we'll constantly be trying to figure out things that we can do. It's so amazing. His justification has nothing to do with us. Sanctification has nothing to do with me too. Justification is what Christ did on the cross. I can't fix it. I can't change it. Sanctification is what happens in me for other people. So it's not even about me there either. You know, funny, my life's not about me. About 20 years ago, I was real angry. Not angry. Just, well, angry is not the right word. Whatever. I just told God. Frustrated. There you go. Good word. I just told God, you know what? My life's not my own. And if I've ever heard him, there was just this gentle, yeah, you're right. You know, that really helped me, though, because listen, folks, we're selfish people. I mean, we really are. We're very selfish people. And the more that we understand what Christ did for us and we get in that walk of loving relationship with him, the more and simpler it becomes where we do walk in the sanctification of help loving and serving others. That's where sanctification is. Has nothing to do with your... Here's what's so funny. It has nothing to do with your... You can't dwell on your sin and walk in sanctification. You can't do it. So, let me finish this out here. Don't let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourselves completely to God, because you were dead. Remember, we're talking about dead or alive. For you were dead, but now you have new life. So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory, for the raising up of God's reputation, if you will, for the glory of God. Sin is no longer your master. Do you hear that? That's not just something to say. And that's not just, you can't just throw that out because people will say, well, it does master me. No, it does not. It doesn't master you. If you allow, that's your choice. But sin does not master me any longer. But I promise the only reason I understand how much it does not master me is because I really understand the depth of the love that it took for him to die on a cross for somebody who did not deserve it at all whatsoever. Some people walk in the fact that they think they deserve it. Man, they are so missing it. So sin is no longer your master, because you no longer live under the requirements of the law. Instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace. Well then, my favorite part. I love this, man. Well then, since God's grace has set us free from the law, does that mean we can just go on sinning? And Paul had to say this all the time. Of course not. Because everybody wants to use the grace ticket to do what they want. When you walk in the purity of the grace of Jesus Christ and recognize what he did for you on the cross, it will not be about you any longer and about fulfilling the things that you want to see done. Instead of buying a Bentley, you might be satisfied with just getting you a Kia. Where'd that come from? I don't know that I'd want a Kia. So I really wouldn't want a Bentley. Whatever. So since God's grace, of course not. Don't be silly. And then he explains it. Don't you realize that you become a slave to whatever you choose to obey? So you can be a slave to sin and it leads to death. Or you can choose to obey God, which leads to sanctification, the big word. Righteous living. Now understand, you're not righteous, but he is. So where are you going to find your righteousness but in him? So why do we say we got to be righteous and then we start doing subtraction? Man, this happened all throughout my life, especially for poor women, because guys just wear pants all the time, jeans or whatever. Women, they always had different. So, man, that whole holiness, righteous thing was just constant change. They stacked their hair up on top. We would sit in the back of the church and talk about the Tower of Babel hair, and we'd give out points for it. We're not listening to the preacher at all. And then, you couldn't wear jewelry, all these things. Let's subtract so you can be holy. It's so not right. And I'll show you here in a second when I close, and then we can be the people to food. So, you can obey God, which leads to righteous living. Thank God, once you were slaves of sin, but now you wholeheartedly obey this teaching that we've given you. What is this teaching that we've given you? Euangelion is the big word for it in the Greek language. It's called the gospel, the good news of Christ. And the good news of Christ is always good news. So if you're trying to hammer somebody with Jesus, you're not preaching the gospel. You're preaching your own little aggravation because you don't like them or whatever. And what's so funny is some of these people we talk to that we say we want to, what's going to happen? What they all of a sudden they say, yeah, I want to know this Jesus. Well, then you're going to be stuck with him in heaven for the rest of their life. You know what I'm saying? Don't ask people that you hate, right? Because then they might actually come on board. Huh. Sorry. Let me stay right here. I'm staying right here somewhere. Let me turn my page. I'm getting to my last page. You should be happy about that. So verse 17, so thank God, once you were slaves of sin, but now you wholeheartedly obey this teaching we've given you. Now you are free from your slavery to sin, and you've become slaves to holiness, to righteous living, to sanctification, to everything that needs to happen once you truly believe what Christ did for you on the cross. And when you're in a loving relationship like that with him, all right, I'm telling another story I tell a lot too, but it's so, so important for you to understand this. I've told you the story about the woman who married this husband who was just a mean guy. He was just, I'm looking at Ken, he's just mean, Ken. He was just mean. And she married him because she thought she loved him, and he was so mean, he gave her this list of instructions of what he expected from her every day, because she's a stay-at-home mom, and stay-at-home moms don't do any work, and he would come in, he's the king of the castle, not the priest of the home. He was the king of the castle, and so she had this list that she carried with her, and she had to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning, and she had to cook his breakfast, and then she had to make his lunch to take to work, and then when he got home, she better have that house clean and the meal on the table, and blah, 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 blah. Well, finally, I say finally, probably to her too, she probably felt guilty. Finally, this dude died. He died. So she's free from this tyrant of a man called love. And so she swore she'd never do it, never, 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 never again. Well, there was this guy who was just hanging around, and he didn't really hit on her. He would just be kind to her, and she was kind of enjoying the kindness, and then he started paying more attention to her, and she's realizing, oh my goodness, I could fall in love, and I ain't doing that again. I'm not getting in another relationship like that. But she just couldn't help it, because he just honestly loved her, and she got to the point to where she's waiting for the other shoe to fall, when's this real guy going to show up? And he never did. He just really loved her. So she decided she would go ahead, and she succumbed to it anyway. They ended up getting married. And so during the marriage, she was so grateful to God every day, just thanking God. God, I can't believe you brought this man in my life and how much he loves me. And God, I'm so thankful for it and all that. So one morning, she's cooking breakfast, and she's got her apron on, and she sticks her hand in her apron pocket, and she fills this list or this paper, and she pulls it out, and it's a list of all the things the former guy had demanded her to do. And it dawned on her, she was doing everything on the list right at that time, but it was motivated out of a love relationship, so she didn't even notice it. Do you get it? That's who Jesus is. That's who Jesus is. And when you really get in that relationship with him, you're not going to have your little list of what you've got to do and not do. If your sanctification will flow in and out and through you, you won't be worrying about, oh, I got this drug and stuff. No, you'll be so focused on loving people who just hate themselves. Do you not understand how many people just hate themselves? Why do you think? You got kids committing suicide because of they didn't get enough likes on Facebook or Instagram or whatever. Do you hear what I'm saying? Guys, we're in a pivotal time in our nation. We don't have time to sin. We don't have time. All we have time to do is love folks. And when you really get there, you'll be, okay, sorry. I'm going to go to my conclusion. Here's my conclusion. Righteous living, what we just talked about, is not sanctification by subtraction. And let me tell you something. Sanctification is not by division either. And sanctification is not even by addition. Sanctification, righteous living, is by multiplication. I have proof. And I'm going to use the Bible to prove it. John chapter 15, Jesus. He says, I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. And he who cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit, so that they can produce even more. You know, I actually Googled fruit multiplication. There's a whole thing scientifically about fruit multiplication. I mean, it's a deal. Because one seed planted creates a multitude of fruit. So, let's keep going here. Verse 3. You've already been pruned and purified by the message I've given you, Jesus said. And what was his message? You've heard it say an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. I'm telling you to love your enemies. You've heard it say walk a mile with that Roman. I'm telling you, you walk 2 miles with him. Yeah, he pushed them beyond belief. But here's what's so cool. You've already heard it. And again, so verse 4. So remain in me, and I'll remain in you. Because a branch cannot produce fruit if it's severed from the vine. And you can't be fruitful unless you stay in me. How many times have I told y'all, it's all about focusing on him. I focus on Jesus. I'm not sin conscious, I'm Jesus conscious. I'm not guilt conscious, I'm Jesus conscious. I'm not, what am I doing wrong conscious, I'm Jesus conscious. When you focus and stay in him, it's a natural flow out of a loving relationship. So that list that you have, you will do absolutely just perfectly without having to be told. So a branch can't produce fruit if it's severed from the vine. You can't be fruitful unless you remain in me. Verse 5, yes, I'm the vine. You're the branches. He had to reiterate that. Because sometimes we think we're the vine. Huh. I'm the vine, you're the branches, and those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can't do anything. And you can't. You can't love your wife or your husband like you should. You can't deal with your coworkers like you should. You can't cut people off in traffic like you do. I've seen you cut me off in traffic. I'm kidding. So what are you saying, Steve? I'm saying I'm going to show you the fruit, man. I'm going to show you the fruit right here. But the Holy Spirit, notice who produces this fruit. The Holy Spirit. What's that? Through a loving relationship. Holy Spirit's God in us. Jesus said, I got to go to so I can. Jesus said, I got to go so I can live in you, is what he said. You get it. I've got to, my physical self that is stuck in this human body has got to go so that I can send me to you. And the Holy Spirit's what produces this. And what is it? What does he produce in our life? Ways to fix me, ways to keep me straight, ways to keep me showing me a list of subtractions so that I can somehow line up. No, sir. And I think he wrote this priority-wise, too. The fruit of the Spirit is love. The word there, love, is agape. It's not there. There's other Greek words for it. It's God's love. It's unconditional love. It's I love you not if, I love you because, I love you, period. That's what his love is. That's the love that he's trying to get us to accomplish with other people. And the better I get at it, the harder it is. And what I mean by that is, Ed, the better I get at loving people who I don't want to love, then he'll send somebody else that drives me on my last nerve. And so I'm like, you know, God, never mind on the love for this week. Let's postpone that till next week. Let's work on joy. No, I really don't. Here's what it is. What? Here's your sanctification. You want to be sanctified, homogenized, pasteurized. There it is. You got to love folks. Joy. Joy is not happiness. Joy is joy comes from the deep within. Peace instead of turmoil. That's inner peace. That's outer peace. And if you're constantly, husbands and wives, if you're constantly punching that button on your husband and your wife because you know which button to push, that ain't peace. Man, y'all got quiet now. I must have said something true. Patience. That word patience literally means patience with other people, not circumstances. Patience with folks. This is a difficult one. It's not the point. The point is, it's not about how difficult, oh God, I can't do it. It's not that at all. It's what am I letting flow in my life? What am I allowing the Holy Spirit, the Jesus that lives within me, what am I allowing Him to accomplish in and through me? Peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. These are all seem ridiculous, don't they? But you know what? You can't produce it, but He can. Gentleness, self-control, the word temperance. I hate when they do this self-control. I hate when they translate it like that, because walking in the fruits of the Spirit, there is no self involved. So temperance is, the Holy Spirit is, He's pretty cool in that. And for those of you who've been here a while, you know He really helped me lose. I used to weigh 220 pounds. And I finally decided I'd get to that one, you know, because you kind of go in order and you get stuck at patient. So I finally just sat down in my office one day and just said, man, Holy Spirit, I don't really understand what this is, but I need this for me. And it was a miracle what would happen. I would go out to eat, and I'm normally two-fork eater, you know, just fast as I can eat. And friends that I eat with, they would mention, man, we're having to wait for you today. I slowed down, but I didn't consciously do it. Watch. Because I didn't have the list of my keto diet. I was walking in a love relationship. And somehow through that love relationship, I wasn't eating as fast. I know that sounds bizarre. It's not the point. I'm skinnier now because of it. Amen. So there you go. And just so you know, I just think it's hilarious that he ends up saying there's no law against these things. Why? Because every one of these things has to do with helping other people and serving other people. And there's no law against that. Nothing. Sorry, there's none. There's no law against that. There's no law against being good to other people. So, I'm done. Let me say this. I just put Easter, the celebration of dead men and women coming alive. Amen. And let me tell you, man, it's true. So come alive today. Now we've got the kids are fixing to do a little thing here.